This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, June 26, 2018, show about technology and ministry. So happy that you decided to join us, and I'm very happy that Sally Draper decided to join me for yet another episode. Is there some significance to 555 in your mind, Sally, or is it just another number?
I think it means we've been doing this a very long time, Martin.
It's not a palindrome or anything like that.
I guess it
Actually,
is.
We played
Exploding Kittens last night, and there's a taco cat card because there's a palindrome. So
555, and we are actually in the midst of our summer series where we are doing a book review and going chapter by chapter, or two chapters at a time, through Brian Tracy's book, Eat That Frog. So we probably have to do the little travelogue first before we jump in there. Any new pins in the map behind you there?
Nope, we're still in the same place, but we're on the road this weekend, traveling to Ohio and Kentucky for visiting the Creation Museum and Noah's Ark exhibit. So very much looking
I've never been there, but every single person that I've talked to that's been there said it's worth it. Actually, it's not inexpensive, I understand, but it's worth going to.
Yeah, looking forward to it. That's kind of a highlight of our summer. We're spending the summer with our son, who's going to be starting college this fall. So that was one of the things on our list of things to accomplish with him.
So you're traversing Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio.
Yeah, actually, we're going kind of southern. So we're going through South Dakota and across through Ohio and then in
avoiding Wisconsin,
Illinois. Yeah, we'll head back through Wisconsin on the return trip.
The people here are really nice.
They are. I've met a lot of them, and they're good folks. Like cheese a lot, right?
We like cheese and beer.
Yeah,
it's a good combination. All right, let's talk about Eat That Frog. We are on chapters 3 and 4, and if you aren't following along at home, we'd encourage you to do that. Go get the book, Eat That Frog, 21 Great Ways to Stop Procrastinating and Get More Work Done in Less Time. And it's a real shorty. It's not long. In fact, each chapter you can read in about 5 minutes. But there's lots of good stuff in there, and that's why we're taking a summer to go through it. So chapter 3, Applying the 80-20 Rule to Everything. Sally, what's the 80? This is a test. What is the 80-20 rule?
Well, he actually gives you a little background in the book about the first person to discover that ratio and its effect. Let me look and see who it was. It was an Italian economist.
The Pareto principle, yes.
Yes, and it basically says that his look at it, at least back in 1895, was that the vital few, the top 20% in terms of money and influence, and the trivial many, the bottom 80%. So he saw his economic view of things was to divide things that way. I think as you look at it, though, the 80-20 principle applies to a lot of different things, like 20% of the congregation is perhaps actively engaged in 80% of the work of the congregation,
right?
That kind of concept. And the same is true, he says, in this chapter, Brian Tracy, the author, says in this chapter, of the work that we have to do. 20% of it is the really meat and potato stuff that will advance our efforts dramatically, while the other 80%, the minutiae, are tasks. And it feels good to accomplish those little things, but it doesn't move us forward greatly.
Right. Yeah, one quote I found interesting in the first page or two, often a single task can be worth more than all the other 9 items put together. This task is invariably the frog that you should eat first, which actually is the 10-90 principle,
sure,
if you think
sure
about it, but you get the point, right? It is that one important thing that has more impact than any other is probably that frog.
And, you know, oftentimes with frogs, those things that are hard to tackle and get done, they aren't necessarily the prettiest, but they have big impact. We want to kind of stay away from them. We're kind of shy to get started on them because they're big and intimidating. And so we kind of lock up or have that analysis paralysis kind of syndrome that we just want to think about it and not really get going on that important task.
Yep. Another interesting quote, he's got a section called motivating yourself, which is really kind of the key here, right, is to get yourself to eat that frog. But he says, time management is really life management, personal management. It's really taking control of the sequence of events. Reminds me a lot of our book, What's Best Next, which we talked about a couple years ago, where you really have to kind of, I mean, we have control over our time, but the hard part is not as much time management as it is sequence management. What's next? You know, which do you pick? You have a lot of things to pick from, and sometimes our personalities or our inclinations is to just pick, well, let me just get this thing done. Get it off my list versus an evaluation of, you know, how does this affect, and we're going to talk about this in the next chapter, how does this affect 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or and so forth.
Yeah, I like that. It reminded me of that concept of low-hanging fruit. And there are times maybe on a project where you want to kind of wipe the slate of the easy pickings things to get them out of the way. But on a day-to-day basis, you're going to be going and striving for that more difficult or more challenging task that's going to have the bigger impact. In the list of things to do at the end of the chapter, one of them says, resolve today that you're going to spend more and more time on your time working in those few areas that can really make a difference in your life and career, and spend less and less time on lower value activities.
Yeah. And there's definitely listeners out there who are saying, well, I don't actually have complete control over what's next. You know, the next class period comes, I have to teach this class, or I have to write this sermon because there's an expectation. Yeah, there are going to be those things in our lives, that the hardscape of our lives that, you know, have to be done. But I think part of the value is putting the right energy into those tasks as well to make them as meaningful and as impactful as possible.
Definitely. And leading right into chapter 4, Martin, as he emphasizes, consider the consequences. The point of chapter 4 is having a long-range vision. And so, yes, you need to do those daily tasks. You need to, you know, put the proper energy and motivation into those as well. But what you're working on more long-term, perhaps, are goals that are going to have a huge impact over time. Mm-hmm. And so having your goals written down, what you want to accomplish in the next 5 years or the next 10 years or 20 years, whatever thresholds you want to pick, that's going to give you that long-range vision that's going to serve as that motivation to, yep, to eat the frogs that it takes today to get those done.
Yeah. A little bit of disclaimer here, as you read this book, and if you're following along at home, you probably sense this, that there are some humanistic aspects to this. It's all about being successful and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I think a Christian can easily translate that into being a dedicated servant of Christ and following what he wants us to do, being a good steward. One of the interesting sentences in this chapter is, successful people have a clear future orientation. And that's an interesting way to put it. I think very often I would, and I'm sure many people are in the same boat, fall into the trap of being very reactive, kind of just being, you know, in the particular moment. I couldn't help but thinking as I was reading through these chapters that, you know, the time I spend in social media, for instance, how many things that I'm doing there have any future consequence. And there are some, but a large portion of it, at least for me, you know, doesn't compute. You know, it doesn't fall into that equation. There isn't a lot of long-term value to that. And that's not to say that you've got to throw all that stuff out the window. I think you'd go crazy if you made that. You had to make that decision about every absolute thing that you did, that, you know, is this of worth 5 years from now, 10 years from now? I don't think we're put together that way. Good thing to think about.
Definitely. And just like the 80-20 concept, the fact that he wants us to focus on that 20% that has the impact, this focusing on long-term things means that you're going to have to ignore some of the minutia, the things in the 80%. They may never get done. And that was kind of shocking
and
to me.
And that's okay. Right.
And here are a couple of quotes that I wrote down. You'll never be caught up. So there you go, folks. You'll never be caught up. Just swallow that. Get used to it. Get that wishful idea out of your head. And then do first things first and second things not at all.
Yep.
So there are going to be things that just don't get done.
One thing that I think we need to really kind of insert here is that there may be things that you need to do that help somebody else do the same thing, so that it may not be as important to you, but it's really important to somebody else, for you to spend the time with them, share something, do research for them, have a conversation with them, because it is the most important thing or the most long-lasting thing for them. And that kind of goes back to the What's Best Next book, where it's all about servanthood and trying to figure out what it is that you can contribute to the life of another person that's going to make that difference. So that's kind of a good way to, I think about this as well. It's really not just about your, you know, most important thing, but what is it about, you know, your spouse's, you know, most important thing, or your child or your friends or your neighbors or the clerk or the bank teller, whoever.
Or your coworker, of course.
Or your coworker, right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. The thing that matters most must never be at the mercy of the thing that matters least. All kind of saying that same message, but like you said, framing it as one of the things that matters most to you is assisting others or serving others and their goals as well.
Yep. All right. Good discussion. I think one thing I like about this book is that each chapter has a very kind of simple, singular message, and then it gets developed. It's not like this is a whole system, you know, that you've got to implement, mm-hmm. you know, step-by-step mm-hmm. system. These are just kind of by themselves. These are little nice little nuggets that I think can help you kind of get your focus and be a little bit more productive along the way.
Yep.
Should we move along, Sally?
I think it's time to hit our tips and picks of the week.
Okay.
And I have one that I'm excited to share. So let me see if I can share my screen and point you to something that was recently announced from our friends at TechSmith. TechSmith is a software company located in Michigan, and they are the folks behind Snagit and Camtasia Studio, which are screen capture and video creation tools. And we think they do a really great job with them. We use them in the Senate office and have a high respect for them. They just recently announced that they have something they're calling TechSmith Academy now, where they're sharing content meant to help you, especially with the development of your video content. And so you can go over to academy.techsmith.com and check out, I think they have 8 different video lessons up. They're max of like 15 minutes each, maybe 20 minutes each. And they cover things like basic writing, using scripts, doing storyboarding, lighting your video, syncing audio and video, recording your screen, setting up to shoot video, lots of really basic tips that can up the ante of your video production game. And we believe that in this day and age, having video in your arsenal of your church and school communication plan are it's a very great tool to be making use of, because people are really communicating more and more with this visual format. And so why not let TechSmith, kind of experts in the video production game, give you some easy ways to enhance your video production. So check it out.
We often refer to Camtasia and some of these tools as screencasting tools, but we forget that they are great video editors as well. In fact, a lot cheaper than the competition, and maybe not only just cheaper, I think they're easier to use. Mm-hmm. I've been using a lot of them lately for some screencasts, but it's really easy to insert video as well and do that editing without getting overwhelmed by, you know, all the stuff that's involved with something like Adobe Premiere. And Camtasia, and I don't know if this is across all the product line, but I know Camtasia just came out with a new version, right? 2018.
That's right.
It's out there. So check
that out. Yep, I'm excited about that. I happen to be one of their VIPs, so I got a license just the other day for Camtasia 2018. I haven't had a chance to dive in deep yet.
Yeah, but I just installed it the other day as well, but I'm excited to see what improvements they've made. Mm-hmm. All right, my pick of the week is actually a blog post that I wrote, and actually let me get the right window here it is. It is entitled "Hey Siri," better stop my iPhone here, "Play God's Word." So I was thinking about this the other day, and it was kind of sparked by the Apple Developer Conference a couple weeks ago, where they announced this new Siri shortcuts, where you can actually program Siri to do different things for you. And I remembered that at some point I wanted to test Siri out, but try and automate the playing of the audio podcast that we make available from the Synod, the Wells Daily Devotion, the Wells Through My Bible, Military Devotion. All those are available online. And I was thinking, well, can I get Siri to play those automatically if I just talk to my phone? Because I often play them in the car. So a good hands-free experience would be to get your digital assistant to do that. And it turns out it's actually very easy to do if you use the Apple Podcasts app, which is free. And they launched this a long time ago, and they've made some improvements to it. And I don't use it on a day-in and day-out basis, but for this application, it works really well. So the steps are simple. If you want to get Siri involved in automate the playing of these audio podcasts, use the podcast app, subscribe to the Wells Daily Devotion through My Bible, whatever audio podcast you want her to play. And once it's in there, she becomes a little more self-aware that these things exist, because that's part of the problem with Siri and some of the other digital assistants. They're not as smart as you'd like them to be. But it seems like she knows what's in those apps now. So after I've added them, then all you really need to do is ask her. You have to know the right code words to get her to play that, but they're actually very simple. In Siri's case, you say, "Hey Siri, play Wells Daily Devotions," or "Hey Siri, play Wells Through My Bible." And I think she just heard me, and she's continuing to listen. Stop. But it's actually very easy to do. There's only like six steps. And I did a little screencast in this blog post as well. So let me do a quick demonstration. I'll prove myself right here, hopefully. "Hey Siri, play Wells Daily Devotions."
Now playing podcast Wells Daily Devotions.
Yes, Siri. She's got it right.
She listened. So it took me all of, you know, like 5 minutes to set this up, and I've got a little 2.5 minute screencast here that walk you through it too. Obviously only works for iPhone and iPad. I'm going to put a screencast out a little bit later, hopefully, about how to do this via Android and its Android assistant as well. But that is my tip of the week. Just as kind of a bonus, as I was playing around with this, I was looking at the Workflow app, which is what Siri Shortcuts is going to be based on once iOS 12 is out. And let me stop my screen sharing here. I can figure out how to do that. See, Sally, when you are at the controls, everything is backwards to me. So am I back? There I am.
You're back. Okay. Nice to see you.
But there's a Workflows app that allows you to script different things on your phone. So you can open up web pages, and you can open up different apps and add text, and it can be interactive. It's actually pretty geeky, but it's a free app. But Apple bought them about a year ago, and now they've integrated some of the technology, and with iOS 12, they're going to launch that with Siri Shortcuts. But what I did was, well, maybe I could, with a touch of a button, just get the devotion to play, today's devotion to play. And I was able to do that. So now I've got a button right on my phone that says Daily Devotions. I can just tap one button. It goes out and gets today's devotion and starts to play it automatically. So I don't need to talk to anybody or go through any other gyration. So there's a couple ways to kind of do this semi-hands-free and just automate the whole process. So using technology for good.
I have a couple of fun anecdotes to go along with your pick this week, Martin. First of all, I saw the title of your blog post come up in my RSS reader, actually, and I read it out loud. Hey, Siri, play God's Word. And it started responding. My phone was there, and it started responding. So I had to go read the article to understand all the nuances to make it happen. And it totally makes sense because I have playlists that I call up, Siri.
Oh,
when I'm driving
do that too, right?
Down the road, hey Siri, play Michael Bublé playlist, and it happens for me, you know. So what you're describing with podcasts totally makes sense.
We're probably setting up everybody's phones of this entire podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Your tip section.
So the other funny story that I have to tell you about the Internet of Things is my father-in-law, who's just like super cutting edge, it seems. He has, I think it's a Ryobi garage door opener. And when we were visiting with them a few weeks ago, he was like, you know, it says that I ought to be able to close the garage door. They were actually telling us a story where they had turned around and come back home to see if the garage door was closed or not, because they felt like they didn't close it before they left home. Well, this Ryobi garage door opener supposedly will respond to an app on your phone.
Right.
And he had my husband helping him. They got the Wi-Fi to the garage. And I have a picture of my husband and mother and father-in-law standing inside the house, looking out the window intently at the garage door as they watch it go up and down while he's pushing the button on his phone. It's so cool. So my father-in-law, cutting-edge Internet of Things guy. So
I've got a story, too, then, because I installed, or for Father's Day, maybe last year, or maybe my birthday, I don't know what it was, but my kids gave me a sensor for my garage door that'll work with, I have a Chamberlain. So there's a little sensor that you can put in there that'll open and close your garage door, and an app on your phone that'll say when it's up and when it's down, how long it's been open or closed or whatever. So I don't know where we were. We were in Florida, I think, last spring visiting my mother. And all of a sudden, I get a notice on my phone that my garage door was open. And we hadn't been there for a week. I said, what in the world? Because I'd never had that happen other than I knew my wife was home or I was home and it would give me a notification. So we were kind of freaked out by that fact that, you know, there's not supposed to be anybody in our house. What's going on? Are we getting robbed blind? Are they pulling out the big screen TV? And you know, is my wife's car gone? And, you know, whatever. So we called our neighbors and had them go and make sure everything was okay. Not thinking that I might have been sending my neighbors into harm's way either. It was a false, I've had a number of false, you know, alarms as well. I don't know what trips it, but the garage door actually doesn't open, but something flew in front of the sensor or whatever that caused the thing to respond that way.
So am I hearing you have bats in your garage now?
Yeah, that could
flying. Okay. Well, Internet of Things is going to conquer.
It crawled up high enough to set the sensor off. So. All right, let's go on, Sally, to community feedback.
All right. And just one thing to make mention of here, and it's one of my favorite things to make mention of. I noticed a post over on the Wells Intersections Facebook page, which is hosted or curated by Pastor James Aderman. And it was pointing to an article titled 14 Amazingly Free Stock Photo Websites. I'm always looking for new stock photo options. And this infographic has them. There's plenty here that I like and use regularly, but always looking for new things. And one of the ones in the infographic, and there are 14 here, and since it was an infographic, it was screaming for me to pin it on our Pinterest board. So you can find it out on the Wells Tech Pinterest board if you're interested in the infographic. But one of the sites that it mentions specifically is something called, and let me look at it's Pick Jumbo. And PicJumbo.com has free stock images. They organized them into categories. So what I'm showing on my screen right now is the technology category. So it's not a super robust search until you drill down a little bit. And that's kind of their catch. They make them free, but if you want to pay for premium access, they have more searchability there. So I'm thrilled with some of the options that they have for free stock photography in the technology category, things that could definitely be useful. So if you're looking for some new ideas or new stock photography options, you might want to check out the websites listed in the infographic that I shared.
Very good. Let's go to our video of the week.
I'll hop right over to that screen. It's a Vimeo video from our friends at Academia Cristo. Sharing my partner gives us an update for June 2018 of the world doing that they're doing through Academia Cristo. And this is a super video because they made contact with people in Paraguay that they only knew through the website and its offerings. So Mike's gone down to Paraguay now and met face-to-face with some of these contacts that he's made and is doing additional outreach and training with them. They have some leadership capabilities there in Paraguay. So just really exciting to see how this electronic outreach is reaching real people and leading to face-to-face conversations around God's word, and to see their enthusiasm, you just can't beat it. So good stuff.
Very good. We're going to continue our discussion next week with Eat That Frog. Chapters 5 and 6 are coming up. Practice creative procrastination, intriguing topic, and use the ABCDE method continually. So grab your copy and join us for the ride on chapters 5 and 6. Sally, can you tell us how people can give us their own feedback or share their journey on through this book as well?
I'd love to do that, Martin. And there are many, many ways. Head over to our show notes website. You can find that at wellspec.wells.net. You'll see a lot of social that we have available on the top menu bar. So you can comment on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. We have a wiki. We have the ability to email us there and also send us a voicemail. We'd love to hear your voice and play it as part of the Well Tech Show next week. So do reach out. This week we heard from Cindy Krieger. She left a comment on our Facebook page and said, "My Sunday school teacher, Ms. Van Zandt, would be so glad to hear someone teach the concepts and Eat That Frog of doing the most difficult thing first. She taught us that concept way back in 1969. I won't say I apply it to everything I do. However, I do use it often." So thanks for reading along with us, Cindy, and for your comments. And please, everyone else, let us hear from you.
Absolutely. Love it. All right. That's going to about do it for this week on Wells Tech for episode 555. And we hope you join us for 556 next week. Blessings on your week, and we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.